Hi, I'm Mark Brody, and this is the Friday Newscap Podcast. Each week, we review the biggest stories with experts, reporters, and commentators to put the news in perspective. Here's this week's episode.
Grijalva means established and present and here and ready to listen. And that's what we've done our entire lives. That's what I've done my entire adult life. And I am really proud to represent this community.
It is unlawful for President Trump to hold up this education funding and to wreak absolute havoc on our schools and on our students and families.
I feel like I can do a much better job than a federal Department of Education. I have 600 people working for me who know Arizona schools backwards and forwards, and that many of them have been doing it for many years.
The whole Western United States has seen this problem. Now, I'm more apt to say, listen, if you've had thinning processes in an area, you can let it simmer, but not until then. And this place had none of the such.
Unfortunately, my Republican colleagues are pushing for cuts that will make our country ultimately poorer, less educated, and less safe.
Today's recall effort is rooted in misrepresentation, divisive tactics, and do not reflect our democratic values. This effort is not about strength of the party. It's about distraction and dividing us at a time when unity is more important than ever.
And joining me to talk about a change atop the state Democratic Party, results from this week's primaries in the 7th Congressional District and more, are Barrett Marson of Marson Media. Good morning, Barrett.
Good morning.
And Mike Hayner of Lumen Strategies. Mike, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Mike, let me start with you on CD7. This is the primary race to replace the late Congressman Raul Grijalva. On the Democratic side, his daughter, Adelita Grijalva, won. On the Republican side, Daniel Gutierrez was the winner. There had been some talk about maybe Deja Fox, who's a social media influencer with a little bit of political background, maybe having a chance to win that primary. Ultimately, Grijalva won that by, I think, 40-some-odd points. Was the margin surprising to you?
A little bit. The Grijalva name, obviously, has been on a ballot in southern Arizona for 40 years.
Yeah.
And so I think the campaigns over the years, the get-out-the-vote efforts, all of the things that Congressman Grijalva had done and his daughter had done led to this victory. And it was by a very significant margin.
Barrett, does the margin surprise you at all, Barrett?
Yeah, they don't call it the Grijalva machine for nothing. The margin did a little bit surprise me. I don't think I bought into the national media's obsession with Deja Fox. I think probably a lot of her followers, supporters, in fact, the vast majority of them don't live anywhere near CD7. They live in Minnesota and maybe Brooklyn, New York, but not CD7. So she certainly raised a lot of money, certainly got a high profile, but that did not in any way turn the votes for her.
I want to ask Mike also about Daniel Hernandez, who came in third, but also came into this race. I am not in that district, but he seems like he would have maybe the second highest name ID. I mean, the Hernandez name in southern Arizona, they've been involved in politics for a while. He's been in the legislature. He ran for Congress before. He came in a distant third in this race.
Yeah. Again, it's difficult because legislative races are so small and so targeted to a very few number of voters, mm-hmm. that when you expand outside that realm, it becomes much more difficult, and your name ID isn't what you expect it to be. Mm-hmm. Even if you've run for Congress in a district similar to that a number of years ago, it just doesn't translate. And the memory of voters to say, oh, I remember that name from this district or from this race a couple of years ago, it's very difficult because people are trying to just live their lives.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, even your learned and scholared listeners, many of them would be hard-pressed to figure out who their legislator was. They could probably tell you who their congressman is, but many, not all, but many would be hard-pressed to tell you who their legislator was. And I just, I think the name Grijalva has rung out since, you were in short pants. And so, I just, it was too much of a hill to climb for just about anybody, but you know, certainly a former state legislator.
So, Barrett, given the margin of Grijalva's victory here, and of course, this is a special election. She'll have to run again, assuming that she wins in the fall, which she should
know.
Because
I mean,
it's a pretty Democratic district.
Trump is really going to work hard on this one.
I mean, given the margin, would you imagine that sort of maybe insulates her from a primary challenge next year when she has to run for the full term?
I can't imagine anyone serious taking her on. That would be a fool's errand.
Would you agree with that, Mike?
100%. I mean, there may be some gadfly that decides to, this is my time, but she's going to win re-election after she wins election in the fall.
I mean, this is going to be a Grijalva seat for maybe three generations, you know, 2 to 3 generations, easy.
Yep.
Mike, I want to ask you about sort of the using this race, because Barrett brought up all the national attention and, you know, there were comparisons between Deja Fox and AOC and Mamdani in New York. There, you know, is this the future of the Democratic Party? It seemed like on policy, both Grijalva and Fox are fairly progressive. They both call themselves progressive. Their policies, it didn't seem like there was an awful lot of daylight between them. I wonder if there's anything to be said about what this race and the results on the Democratic side mean for the Democratic Party. Or is it just this is somebody who everybody in that district knows? Her father held the seat forever. And as we heard her say, all politics is local.
That's 100% correct. All politics is local. The family's been in that district for, like I said, more than 40 years, from supervisors' races to school board races to city races. And this has nothing to do with national politics in any way, shape, or form. This is District 7 in Tucson, and you can end it there.
Yeah, I do absolutely agree with that. I don't think there's any lesson to be learned from the CD7 race this year, because it just really was a look at the Grijalva name.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right. So, Mike, let me ask you about another election that took place this week. This one just among Democrats, and it was to oust the party chair, Robert Branscombe, who was just elected in a landslide to that post about 6 months ago. It was not a smooth tenure for Mr. Branscombe atop the state Democratic Party. I'm curious, you know, what you make of sort of all the machinations and ultimately the vote to oust him.
I don't think it really means anything. The average voter in Arizona, Democrat, Republican, Independent, Green, Libertarian, whatever you want to be, probably couldn't tell you who the chair of their party is or what their actual structure of the party does. They vote for candidates. We've seen this in the Republican side with them bypassing the state party and going to Yuma a number of years ago. Doug Ducey won election handily when that happened. It's irrelevant in the big scheme of things who the party chair is. It's all about the behind the scenes, you know, raising money and all that other stuff that matters. And the next person needs to be able to do that type of stuff.
You know, one thing I'm a little jealous of, Democrats, you know, nipped this in a bud, you know, 6 months, right? Whereas when there was all this mishigas with the state Republican Party, we were ride or die with Kelly Ward until we, you know, went off the cliff. And so at least they nipped it in the bud, and you know, now maybe they'll get, you know, someone with a heartbeat into that position. I don't know. No one really wants it, it seems.
Well, that seems to be the issue, right, Mike? Like, nobody, like, who would want this job? They're going to be walking into what seems like a pretty messy situation.
Well, again, all you need to do is have the backing of the elected officials, you know, have the correct staff, and this job isn't that difficult. So, but again, in the world of politics today, how many people actually want to be involved in any of it?
Absolutely not. But and I absolutely agree with Mike, nobody knows who the party chairman is in the public. Hmm. This is all about sort of the grassroots, but also, you know, parties are supposed to raise money and register voters. So far, Democrats have not been able to do that over the last couple of years. I mean, they're a huge deficit on voter registration.
Definitely a huge voter registration issue. But from a raising money standpoint, obviously, they competed well financially in the last cycle. Results weren't as great. You know, obviously, Senator Gallego won.
Mm-hmm.
They lost a couple of seats at the legislature, but it was nowhere near as bad as it could have been. And again, I think the money is going to be fine. It's the voter registration issue that's problematic.
But Barrett, the money doesn't seem to be fine now, though.
Right. And that's a great rallying cry. You know, it wasn't as bad as it could have been. the party, the Democratic Party finances are bad, but the I think the money will be there, whether it's Navajo County, the state Democratic Party. Again, to Mike's point earlier, you know, Doug Ducey and, for that matter, John McCain, when they each diverted money to the Yuma County Party, the Yuma County Republican Party did a great job, and they were the richest, you know, county party in the entire country, right? They were just getting funneled millions of dollars, and they were doing the work of the state Republican Party. So did people in Kingman go, gee, why is Yuma County, you know, Republican Party messaging to me? No, they didn't. And so it really doesn't matter the structure, you know, it just is a little, I mean, it's Michigas, and we in the political world love it. But in the real world, it's
nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Well, so Barrett, I guess then if you are a Republican candidate for one of the statewide offices, is this the kind of thing where you look at it and maybe you think, okay, like the Democratic Party is kind of going through some stuff right now. But as you say, when Ducey and McCain went through Yuma, they still won. So maybe like if you're the Republicans, don't let this be a distraction. Don't take your foot off the gas just because the Democrats are going through Navajo County instead of the state party.
Right. And, you know, look, it's messaging, right? It's, you know, what are Democrats standing for and what are Republicans standing for? And that is what will win elections, not who the party chairman is or what, you know, structure it is. It is the messaging. And right now, Democrats don't have great messaging. And, you know, we're going to see. I mean, it's a year and a half till the next election. I mean, that is a lifetime. Lord only knows what'll happen. But right now, you know, Republicans are winning on the messaging side.
Well, and again, I think you're right. The messaging matters, but also the economy matters.
Mm-hmm.
And as we start to see some of the effects of the tariff, some of the effects of cuts, you know, some of the things that are happening kind of underground in the economy, you know, that's also going to play a large role into what the messaging actually is.
Sure.
And I think that's going to have a great influence on the outcome of the 2026.
Yeah, I don't think there was two things that drove 2024, the economy and then illegal immigration. And Trump has done well on illegal, you know, stanching the flow of border crossers. And then obviously everyone can argue about sort of the interior enforcement, but it's the economy. You know, Trump really does have to watch it. That and, of course, Epstein.
All these years later, still the economy, stupid.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. 100%.
Barrett, let me ask you about a bipartisan call in Arizona for an investigation into the Dragon Bravo fire. This is on the north rim of the Grand Canyon, of course, burned down the historic Grand Canyon Lodge. There, a lot of folks are pretty upset about it. Started by lightning, was allowed to continue sort of as a controlled burn, and then it the winds shifted and it kind of lost control, and now the North Rim is closed for the rest of the season. Is this the kind of thing that you would expect to have a bipartisan call? It's not just Democrats accusing the Trump administration messing up here. You hear people like Congressman Paul Gosar saying, we need to look into this.
This is, you know, environmentalism or nature, and by the way, I am an avid indoorsman. I don't really do nature, but this is an area where it really brings together the tree-hugging hippies with the gun-toting hunters. You know, they all want their open space, places to go hunting and camping. Ugh, sounds horrible. I know. I hate to give your listeners that horrible impression. But, you know, they all want to go hunting and camping and everything like that. So nature does actually bring together. So I'm not surprised at all that both Hobbs and Gosar are on the same side of this issue.
Well, Mike, it seems especially when it comes to the Grand Canyon, that seems to be the one thing that kind of brings this state together politically, right? Like if the Grand Canyon is going to be closed for some reason, like people on both parties, on both sides of the aisle are saying, we got to open it up. We got to protect it.
Yeah, but I would argue Governor Hobbs led this charge, right? She was the first one to call for an investigation. She was the first one to point out the fact that there seemed to be some inconsistency in how they managed this fire. Mm-hmm. But it is shocking to me that we have bipartisan support for an investigation and looking into this, because bipartisanship is not normal anymore. Like, we've gone so far that again, it's surprising to me that both parties or elected officials of both parties would say, yeah, this is a problem and we need to look into it.
Barrett, is it worth noting that someone like Congressman Gosar, who is among the furthest to the right members of Congress, I think it's safe to say, I think he would probably say that, is looking to investigate something to do with the Trump administration?
Yeah. Look, I think he's already blamed Biden for this.
He has.
Yeah. Oddly. Yeah. I'm sure Obama had something to do with it as well. And so he's coming at it a little bit differently. And facts really don't matter anyway. But he is, I'm sure, just as angry as, say, Governor Hobbs. And he sees it, I'm sure he'll see the outcome much differently than other people. But he does have to look like he's calling for action, because, again, his people, right? His people care about what happened up there, and he cannot ignore it. Neither he nor Eli Crane, they can ignore, you know, what's going on, you know, these fires. I mean, look, we're in fire. We've sort of coming out of fire season, and that, you know, fire burns both Republican homes and Democratic homes.
Well, and Mike, one of the things we've heard already, and of course, we don't really know, they haven't done the investigation yet, but, you know, there are, especially on the left, people are saying, you know, well, this is DOGE, right? They went in and they eliminated a bunch of jobs and they cut a bunch of funding, and, you know, the Forest Service and the wildland firefighters, they just don't have enough resources, not enough people, not enough whatever it is that they need. I wonder if this becomes the kind of issue where people who are opposed to that kind of thing will say, look, you might want to cut spending in the abstract, but here's how it really impacts people's lives. Here's how it impacts, you know, our state.
Definitely. Again, part of the challenge is when you just randomly eliminate positions and eliminate jobs, programs, without looking at what are they actually doing and how are they actually benefiting the states or the federal government or the Arizona U.S. taxpayer. Like, these cuts related to we've never had enough wildland firefighters. We always struggle with that type. That's why I think Governor Ducey had that corrections program that allowed inmates to become wildland firefighters. So it's always a challenge. And when you just randomly cut things without thinking about how it impacts the world, that does become a problem.
Yeah, DOGE, you know, I think a lot of people were, you know, supportive of the concept, the high-level concept of reducing government. I think just, you know, firing FAA people, inspectors, and, you know, health inspectors, and, you know, just getting rid of whole, you know, swaths of people without actually realizing what they do, and then having to recall them back. And I think that was a mistake. They really did miss an opportunity to go in and break things, but break them in a responsible way, and to get rid of, you know, NOAA, you know,
the Weather Service folks
and things like that. I mean, we may see some consequences to that.
All right. So, Barrett, going from the Grand Canyon to the Southeast Valley now, we saw this week, that's a interesting transition.
Yeah.
We saw this week that the mayor of Chandler, Kevin Harkey, has filed a statement of interest to run for the legislature in one of the more competitive seats in the state. The incumbent, J.D. Mesnard, is termed out. One of the state representatives is running for the Senate. I'm curious what you make of sort of this musical chairs of, you know, Mike said, who wants to get into public life anymore? Apparently, the Chandler mayor wants to be a state legislator.
Well, yeah. Look, the retirement benefits are pretty good. And you get, you know, jack up your years of service there. Look, this is a very
competitive. Taking a big pay cut, though.
Well, no, because it's your highest. So, you know, he still gets to retain that. No, but this is one of the most competitive districts. And, you know, Harkey is a pretty you know, liberal Republican, and I think he would do very well if he can get out of the primary. If a couple of conservatives are in there and challenging him, he may not be able to get out of the primary, and that would be the problem. But he's a very attractive general election.
Does this seem like sort of a good get for state Republicans to get somebody who has name ID? We talked about nobody knows who their legislator is. I would think a lot of people in the Chandler area know who their mayor is. Maybe?
Yeah.
No?
I think so.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, you know, when they're bored, when they're bored, they watch, you know, the local, you know, Cox at, you know, 2 a.m. They can't sleep. They put on the city council. Sure. You know, that happens a lot, really.
Do you see this as a good get for Republicans, Mike?
It is. But it's also, I think, a shock to city elected officials when they come to the legislature.
Mm. Oh, for sure.
The whole world is different. In the city, you have a city manager, you have all of this professional staff that has been there for years and years and years. And in the legislature, you don't have that. You might have 12 new employees because there's a new speaker or a new president. All of that changes. So the timing of everything, cities are, you know, they plan, they think about it. They do study sessions. The legislature doesn't do any of that. The legislature moves forward with 1,500 bills every year, regardless. And it's sometimes a shock to city folks who come over to the legislature.
Yeah, and you know, they're used to doing, quite frankly, right? I mean, cities do stuff, and the legislature doesn't do much. And you know, it's not necessarily common sense or what works best. It's, you know, what you're hearing at your LD meetings is, you know, what runs policy down there. So it is a big difference, and which is why you don't see a ton of city people anymore move. It used to be, you know, you would get that.
Sure.
Right? I mean, I think about, you know, the J. Tip Shraneys of the world.
And Harry Mitchell.
You know, but that doesn't happen much anymore because who wants to deal with, you know, 89 other knuckleheads?
Well, on that happy note, we'll have to leave it there. Barrett Marson, Mike Hayner, neither of you are knuckleheads. Thanks so much for coming in. I appreciate it. You've been listening to the Friday Newscap from KJZZ's The Show. It's an original podcast recapping the week's biggest stories with experts, commentators, and reporters. You can get the full show podcast at podcast.kjzz.org. I'm Mark Brody. Thanks for listening.